This is Lovely Hurling, brought to you in association with Zest Active, your daily super supplement.
I'll get it back to Dan Shanahan. Shanahan in front of the goal, puts it over the bar.
Did he nash through? Onto the 13-metre line. Somehow he squeezed it in.
Shanahan, a great catch. He's got a man inside of Ken McGrath. Shanahan has the confidence to go for a big, big score.
Hi, welcome back to episode 12 of Lovely Hurling in association with Zest Active. I'm Anthony Nash, and with me as always is Dan the Man Shanahan. As always, if you want to go and get some discounts off the Zest Active website, you go to Revive Active and type in Hurling10, so Hurling10, and you get 10% off any Zest Active products. And again, thanks to Zest Active for allowing us to continue on and have the opportunity to run this show. So obviously, the biggest hurling event of the year took part last Sunday. Myself and Dan were up there, and we actually did a lovely hurling roadshow, mate, in a fine establishment. And what a weekend, Dan, to be fair. You know, it was my first time kind of being around the city and experiencing the outside of it. But before we start talking about the hurling itself, what a great weekend for Dublin businesses, for taximen, for everybody, you know, just to have supporters back in the city.
100%, Anthony. You said you hit the nail on the head. The supporters back in the city. See the 40,000 people up there, red and white, green and white. It was massive for the businesses, massive for taxis, massive for everything, massive for Dublin again. But again, credit the lads went up there. It's a massive weekend that they go up every year, whether I have a ticket or not. As you said, we meet old heads, have a chat, have a pint together in Cassidy's, whatever it is. And it's a great weekend, Anthony. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it was great. I reached out. It was my first time experiencing it from the outside. But in fairness, it was just great. And like as you said about supporters, you know, they're all great crack. And you meet a few in the street, they're all coming up and, you know, they ask your opinion or whatever the story is. But in fairness, it was very kind of jovial and a great atmosphere. And it was great to see the colour around the city. Like, you know, you see the red and white jerseys and the green and white jerseys around again. It was like the olden times. The event itself, then, obviously for Cork, it was a very, very disappointing day. I've experienced it, Dan, and you have as well. Losing All Ireland finals is not something you want. And you know, it was just, I was lucky enough to be on the sideline, I suppose, to be at the game and feel the atmosphere and everything like that. But I looked over at my fellow friends, and lads that I would have played hurling with for the last over a decade. And just to see them standing in the circle kind of brought back the memories to me of 13, you know, and not a nice place to be. But unbelievable performance from Limerick then, and what did you make of the game itself?
Yeah, Anthony, they were unreal. I have witnessed a bad day in 0-8, Anthony, so I know it's like it's a massive place when you win a game, but by God, when you lose it, it's really crowds in on top of you, you know. And I know what the Cork lads are going through, been there, done that, you know, but they just missed a massive team, Anthony. What a team, what a 15 players. We go through every one of them, we will, from 1 to 30, by they've been outstanding. They had a rough league, let's be honest about it. They started poorly, lost beating one or two games, but Kenrick and Kylie, they really, really got their act together for the championship. And they gave a performance last week in the first half. First water break up, 2-8, I think, on the scoreboard, and they didn't look back after that. It was absolutely amazing performance from an amazing team.
I know there's huge similarities being thrown around, and I would have mentioned it myself about the Kilkenny teams of the noughties, and, you know, this, Kilkenny back then, when Ballyhale Shamrocks were going through the club scene or whatever like that, Cody didn't have half his team for the league. And Kilkenny, I remember we beat Kilkenny in the first game of the league 1 year, a couple or a few times even, and they staggered through the leagues, and, you know, they ended up nearly winning the leagues at the end, but Limerick started slowly. But do you think, I know for a fact, and everyone knows, that they were the last team back training because they won the All-Ireland last year. They came back later than anyone else. Do you think they actually cared about, I know they cared about the league, but was it primed again? Because for me, that was their best performance of the year, a la to Waterford last year in the All-Ireland final as well. It's like they seem to have them just primed, you know, for this time of year.
Yeah, I think so, Anthony. As you said, they were late coming back. They lost one or two league games. Even John came out and made a comment after the Galway game. He apologised after that. What a management. The way they can prime these lads. What a bunch of players to train, I'd say. They do anything for you, but the level of everything they have, Anthony, is unbelievable. The power, the pace, the skill. They're running off their shoulder. It's just a joy to watch. Joy to watch. Cork were the second best team coming into last week in the All-Ireland final. But they got a lesson. They tried to go toe-to-toe with Limerick, which it didn't work. It created. You saw the space that the two full-back line had to deal with. It's unbelievable, Anthony. The unbelievable 50 yards of space in the front of Galan, in the front of Peter Casey, who had 5 points got in 24 minutes and went off injured. Do you know, I felt for the Cork backs, whether it went toe to toe, was it a bad management decision? I'm not going to criticise Kingston or them boys. They thought they were doing the best to do, but you just can't give the space to the quality of Limerick full forward line that are there, because they will destroy you. Coleman went toe to toe with Lynch. Lynch got the first goal within 12 seconds. He was on form. He was involved in 2-4, I think. Set up 2-4 as well. But again, just the way that you have to credit the skill levels of these Limerick hurlers, boy. They're absolutely fucking a joy to watch, boy. And really down to earth lads as well when you meet them. They're not getting carried away or anything like that, like, you know, but which is very important.
Yeah, like the one thing, like it was very difficult for, like, look, I did not want to see that happen to, like, it's the, you know, look, for anyone that doesn't understand, like, when you play, and you know that, when you play for 10 years or whatever with fellas, like, and you leave, look, you're out of the bubble, right? And, like, I would be in contact with a handful of them on a regular basis, like, but, like, it was just so horrible to see that happened on such a big occasion, because the hope in Cork was massive going up, like, I won't say otherwise. And for me, right, going up the road, I was saying Cork had a huge thing, and everyone knows, look, my cousin plays cornerback for Limerick as well, so, like, it was a strange old day for me, but I was going up the road thinking Cork have a massive chance. And then I met a few, like, other GA people that were playing inter-county or managing other inter-county teams, and I asked them their opinion before the game, and every one of them to a man said, look, Limerick are going to win today. It's just they're too good. They've too much in the tank. And I was kind of like sitting back, and it kind of opened my eyes to what people outside of each other counties think about each other. But like, I looked at Limerick perform, and it was just like, no matter what Cork did, like, and I was walking Hill 16 last year for the Waterford match as well then. And whatever Waterford did, like Stephen O'Keefe was looking down the field, hitting them long. Limerick were bringing it back up, hitting them short, they were pushing up and squeezing. It was like Limerick had every aspect of the game absolutely covered over. And the other thing that I found, excuse me, I was on the sideline, I'm only 5'7", 8, 9, whatever I am. They're huge. They're absolutely huge. And Peter Casey is probably the height-wise the smallest. And he's a little bull. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like their physicality, and John Kiley referred to it after semi-final. It was like as if he was so pissed off from hearing it. He was like, oh, Cork's pace is going to come at you. And Kylie turned and goes, we're no slouches ourselves, you know? And like, that seemed to get his neck up, you know? But like, it was just, they seemed to have, at the moment, you know, most aspects of the game almost perfected.
Anthony, 100%. How many times have people said they run the legs off Declan Hannan? How many times did they target Declan Hannan? He's absolutely the key to everything for Limerick. What a performance last week. The way he came out with the ball, got his couple of points. An unsung hero, Dan Morrissey, fullback. Didn't do that. Sean Finn, poetry in motion at me. See Sean Finn coming out. The minute a cornerback gets the ball, straight away it's an attack. Finn is looking to lay off the ball to set up another attack. You know, gives it to Lynch. Hagerty's coming off the shoulder. If it didn't Hagerty, it is Hannan. Hannan or Hayes. They're my Burns. They can score from anywhere. Your own cousin got a point there, Barry. From massive score. There's just Cork went toe to toe, Anthony, and they weren't there for the physicality. As you said there, John Kiley's backed his team by. As in the, when you see Kyle Hayes and Hegarty running at pace, they're as fast and as elusive. Yeah. It's unbelievable that the pace they have as well as the level of skill. I can't explain. I get excited every time I watch them. I get excited. And that's not disrespecting any other team, especially Cork. I was there in 0-8 when Tipperary or Kilkenny hammered the crap out of us in the first half. And I know it's like you're playing catch up. You're trying to keep the scoreboard ticking away there. Just to keep taking, don't get embarrassed during game. I know what the Cork lads have gone through and the Cork management have gone through, because it happened to us in 0-8 against a massive Kilkenny team. And I have to say, it happened again last Sunday against a massive Limerick team. Like, you know, Cork just made boys against me, didn't he?
And the thing about it is that if you look at this Limerick team, right, so Declan Hannan would have started as a forward. Kyle Hayes played centre forward. Barry Nash, my cousin, played centre forward and wing forward for Limerick. Dan Morrissey is a wing back by trade and came back into the full back line. Like, it's their ability to hurl anywhere in the field was the thing for me. And like, if so, when you're standing behind the goal, so where I was perched for the game, if you look at the Limerick defence, right, let's say Dan Shanahan solos through, breaks the line, right? Declan Hannan is coming across the covering, but while he's doing it, he's actually looking behind him, pointing at whoever's behind him, saying, "That's yours." So at one stage, I think Declan Hannan broke to go and cover Robbie O'Flynn. He pointed back at Kyle Hayes, who was coming into the centre to cover his man. And while that was going on, Kyle Hayes was pointing at Will O'Donoghue to cover his man. Like, this is while sprinting, to get their men to come in, and in about a millisecond, I think Shamie Harney was the guy brought through, had no choice but to tap it over the bar. It was just the handing off of players. Like, I'd say, like, look, I'd say absolutely Canerc, and I know for a fact Sean O'Donnell, their stats guy, for anyone that doesn't know about Sean O'Donnell, you should go and do a bit of research on him. He's incredible because he played cornerback himself for Garry's Plan. A fine, tough fecker, apparently, right? And he's living in Kildare, you know. So we had him up to 17 and a great guy. But his idea of the game is incredible. Himself and Canerc, I'd say, are thick as thieves. But their handing off of players, right, was incredible. Like, as it was just didn't matter who came on, Sean Finn, he picked him up, pointed to Barry Nash or to Dan Morrissey, who was he to do. And, like, it's just, it's phenomenal to kind of see. But with Sean, right, he has come in and break down a full game to a minute and a half and show me what I needed to see, right? So just because you're there, Dan, what way do Waterford sit up against my Puckouts? And you'd be there for a minute and a half and you're done. And you have all the knowledge you need. He'd go in, he'd meet a cornerback, he'd do the same thing. But every time he spoke about stats, he broke it down to a player's perspective. So it wasn't just robotic that, you know, you got 10 tackles, you got this. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to set up. This is what you need to... And he had science behind it. And he used to always say to us, right, and people talk about Limerick shooting and Limerick's wide. If in doubt, put it wide. Because you want to set up defensively again for their puckouts. Limerick's defensive setup for puckouts then is... And ye did it to us as well in 17, I think, as well. You were very good at it as well. But Limerick are the best team I've ever come across to set up for puckouts. And the last day, they scored 3.32. And I don't know how they put 14, 15 wise. So Cork had something like 40, 45 puckouts, right? And again, I'll go back to it. You're setting up, like you're pucking out a ball against the best team in the country. So they don't mind defensive puckouts because they think they're going to win them back. And off they go on the attack again. So these guys are just, they seem to have it coached to the, like they have fantastic athletes, don't get me wrong, and great hurlers. But just the organisation on the field, like I was looking up and I was kind of going like, I didn't know what Cork could have done. I honest to God, right? No, I know Cork needed to get a start, right? I know they need to get a start and get two or three goals and everything like that. And when Shane Kingston rattled the goal, I said, perfect response, they're going to come again. But like, I just looked up and I said, geez, what could Cork do? They just had every like aspect of the game covered.
What could anyone do at this? Be honest about it. Any team has come in there, apart from Kilkenny, in that 20 minutes there, two or three years ago, where they caught him. But again, as you said, why would young Collins go long on top of Hayes, Hannon and the other fella? Like, you know, they're 6'2". Do you know, they're beasts of men. They had the 17 wides, they created nearly 55, 60 chances. Do you know, and they scored three.
Madness,
unreal, and they scored 3.22. Do you know, just unbelievable. And the one thing I see there, would you put,
was it three? What was it at halftime then? 3.18, was it?
It was 3.18, 1.11. Yeah, 3.18, 1.11.
So like, that was enough, they said, since 1972 to win All-Ireland.
Two years ago, Anthony, they got 3.18 to win the All-Ireland, two or three years ago. They got 3.18 the first half last week.
Yeah.
No, it's phenomenal, boy, the way they can do it. But you mentioned one fella there again, Nicky Quaid. He can go long, he can go short. He's played out the field with his club. He knows how to deliver the ball, go long down top of the boys in the middle. When it goes to ground, that and you cock the Waterford's physicality Limerick play. But I just think, I always say as a coach, that players have to spot the danger. If Hannon has to go to fella, don't know who comes, the centre forward will come and cover, don't know whose man, they spot the danger. And they're so good at it by down to the clock. Peter Casey last week got a point. He's just like Dancing with the Stars. There's Marty said it on RTE there. His footwork to do that. You can't coach that. That's something talent he has. He got 5 points in 24 minutes. Keane Lynch. What a player.
Yeah, I was going to keep him for a minute, Chad, to ask you what you think about him.
Jesus Christ. His brain, Hagerty's movement, his name number 10. He gets most of his scores coming from number 12's position. The goal he got came down that side. Do you know what? It's just phenomenal. Like, you know, and look, I'm never disrespectful.
I know everyone's talking about Keane Lynch, Dan, right? I know everyone's talking about him and he's gone ramping on about him after that, but how good is he for you?
Oh, he's just... You probably have to go man-to-man, but you can't leave the space open, if you know what I'm saying to you. You have to... Like, he's going like... Derek McGrath would always said, if he's playing centre-forward, midfielder must pick him up and Tadhg Buck would sit on the D. And if Lynch gets 3 points, well and good. Do you know, well and good, 3 points on play. Once he don't create the goal chances, he would have been pawned off to someone else that you know again. But Cork went toward him, young Coleman. And look, he got a score of within the 10 seconds, Anthony, to start. And he was really, Moating, he's unselfish on the ball, just gives it to the next man in play. The scores he got, he's everything to Limerick, but they don't rely on him, if you know what I'm saying to you. They don't rely on him. He's everything to Limerick, but they don't rely on him because they've so many class players.
And that's it. Like, and like, in fairness, always in this show, Dan, and we can't, like, you'd never criticise a player or anything like that. Or not. Like, I just want to say, like, that, listen, and you know what it's like to get there, right? Like, Cork, for me, just everyone, like, look, I don't know, right? And when you're playing, like, I know the Cork players will think that they didn't bring their A game to it. No, they had to, right, if they were to have any chance. But, like, I don't know, was it Limerick's brilliance or just, what was it, like, that didn't allow Cork to do that? But, like, in fairness, like, for anyone that sits down, and, like, I see the Cork supporters on Twitter there, and 95% of them are saying, well done, lads, great year. You know, and like, fair play to Cork, like, you know, they like, again, it's close to my heart because my friends are playing. And it's not that we're trying to say that Limerick, you know, did whatever or Cork didn't do. Like, Cork brought everything to this year as well. It was just a ferocious performance, in my opinion, right? But the one question I have for you, right, and it's been raised all week, is, like, you know, when you walk down the town, like, what would you prefer to hear, like, as a player? Like, is it like, oh, look, you were beaten by a far better team, there's nothing you could do? Like, that to me would gall me as well, like, because I'd go, look, we didn't perform, you know, that's what I felt. Like, how did you feel in, like, when you lost? Like, was it that you just felt disappointed yourselves, or do you felt that you were just out, whatever, performed?
Yeah, it's hard to know, Anthony, because when the management sit down to watch it, personally, I felt, Joe, it would hurt me, like, you know, but hats off again in 0-8. We got things wrong on the line, maybe, going into that game, and we didn't perform against a massive Kilkenny team. And when you don't perform against these teams, you won't win games, because they won't. They won't live it do it. So I know what you're saying, it's going to be hard for the Cork lads. But again, they gave us a massive year, Anthony. I just thought last week, as boys against men, Limerick would have done that to anyone last weekend. Cork, Waterford, Tipperary, they would have done it to anyone. And I just feel for the Cork lads. I know what it's like coming off that tunnel, being, I wouldn't say humiliated, but being beaten by a better team. You can hands up, you're beaten by a better man on the day. You put out your hand, you shake hands, and you wish him best luck, and you know, and soak up. You go away, you go back to the gym, Anthony, two or three, back to enjoy your club hurling, which is hard, I know. We'll go back into that gym in October, November, and it starts again there, like, you know, because the physicality of this Limerick team, it's phenomenal. Now, what they're doing away from the field, you can see the rewards on it. I said the gym work they're doing, the flexibility work they're doing, whatever it is, every individual is different, you know yourself. But what they're doing, the muscle they bring, the physicality they bring, the skill levels they bring, they have every one of them have everything to offer. Even the subs they bought on. They're just absolutely, if you don't do it up there, you won't be playing as simple as that under Coady. Whereas down Waterford, one, two lads, because we haven't got the players that Limerick have, they might get away with not going to the gym. But to be an inter-county fella, you have to be powerful. You have to be dedicated 8-9 months of your if and life to try and beat the Limericks. And that's what they're doing, Anthony Nash. Don't come on and tell me money is this much. Now, they did have a backroom team. And money does help. But that doesn't mean Peter Casey goes in and squatting 120 kgs, 3x8s. Joe, I'm saying to you, that money can't buy. Money can't buy.
Yeah.
Or you going into the gym, Anthony, and doing seeing work hours in the gym and et cetera, et cetera. And that's why they're the fucking best, because they do everything to the T. They have a brilliant backroom team with them. John Coyley will tell you that himself. That he's the manager. He manages everyone in them. It's up to the players and the backroom team to get it all together. It's unbelievable. Like, you know, I was talking to Davy Russell. I was lucky enough to meet Davy Russell, boy. He said, I think the first one they won that McCoy would have met him. Oh, Mr. McManus wanted us to win an All-Ireland. He'd won Gold Cups, pretending the Cheltenham entry to see him Limerick win an All-Ireland, boy. And you see him in that picture with John Coyley after in Croke Park. Delighted for him, like, you know, because, look, he does put in a few pounds. And, look, we all know you need a few pounds to get to get the best as well. Like, you know, out of the players, as in, give them what they deserve and what they want. They speak highly of everyone involved up there, like, you know, and hats off to Limerick and hats off to Coyley and his management team.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, so we leave it there for part one of the show. Part two, I'm going to ask Dan what would he do if he had the chance to put a team together and beat Limerick in the upcoming year, because after the Ireland final, everyone's talking about Limerick going for 3, 4, 5 in a row. So we'll see you back in a second.
You're listening to Lovely Hurling, association with Zest Active.
Right, welcome back to episode 12 of Lovely Hurling, an association with Zest Active. As always, I'm Anthony Nash and Dan is here with me. So for the second part of the show today, we're going to just focus on a few incidents in the Limerick and Cork game that went on, and then we're going to just give Dan an opportunity to maybe, what would he do if he was able to put a team together? And you never know, we'll be talking about managerial roundabouts. Will Dan Shanahan be leading a team next year is the big question. So Dan, two incidents in the game, like, you know, and they were being highlighted very much so on Twitter and social media. There was, look, we'll start off with, I suppose, the lesser danger of the two was Graeme Mulcahy. So when an argument tussle happened on the sideline, Graeme Mulcahy went up, I think it was Rob Downey's hurley, he picked up and just absolutely snapped it in half for whatever reason, I don't know. But what did you make of that little incident?
Not much, to be honest with you, like, you know. I thought, let's give him credit. Hogan had a great game, I thought, Anthony. When you don't talk about a referee, he's after having a good game. You know, but I think Graham maybe is frustrated with himself more than anything else, even though I'm getting maybe on the ball. But again, I wouldn't look into that like that. Like, you know, I'm sure Rob Downey had plenty of hurlies and he'd be great. So, no, it's but dealt with again by Fergal Hogan very well. Like, you know, I think I was right in saying he was taken off after it.
Yeah, he got injured. He actually got injured. Yeah, he got injured. He came on and I saw him running over and his knee came out after one of the water breaks with a massive, massive strapping on his knee. I think he's frustrated with the season itself then, to be honest, because he's been injured all season and when he's come on. I'd agree with you. Look, it's something that if someone broke my hurley, then I was so fussy with hurleys, boy. I swear to God, right? If someone came in and snapped my hurley, I'd have nearly gone for the substitute bench and walked off because I prepped my hurleys to absolutely, like, I would have had one that I would have loved and the second one would have been okay. So if they ever wanted to get into my head, all they needed to do was come over and snap my hurley in half and I'd have nearly walked off the field. So, Rob,
I would 37-inch hurley to take some snap to break that, Anthony, but again, you know, so it was just pure frustration on Graeme. I don't think there was any issue with that, to be honest with you. Like, you know,
But
again, dealt with it right.
Yeah. Second thing then, I suppose, and more serious, like, and it, you know, what, second and third viewing back was Tim O'Mahony and Cian Lynch. So again, Rob was coming out with the ball, so, you know, swung back to try and get away. I think he hit Cian, so Cian was obviously after getting his neck up. And then Tim O'Mahony put his arms around his shoulders, but then Cian kind of almost WWE style body slammed him over. And like, it actually happened down in front of me, right? And it only happened in the corner of my eye, and the two of them were down injured. I didn't know what was after happening, to be brutally honest, right? When I saw the replay, right, it's just, look, my first impression there, right, is you don't want any injured player, right? I was unfortunate. I was at a match in Butterfield one day, and for anyone that would have known hurling around Cork, Desi Fitzgerald was playing, right? Desi would have played for the Cork Intermediates with me. I think he might have got run to Cork Seniors and Cork Underage, and he played for St. Coleman's. He dived in for an innocuous challenge and flicked the ball. I think Charles were playing Kilbrin the same day. Next thing, all of a sudden, he went down and neck brace came in and ambulance came in. We were all thinking, Jesus, oh, hopefully he'll be okay. But you were thinking that he would be okay. And Jesus, he ended up paralysed. This incident, right, could have ended up in something as, like, this incident looked way worse than Desi's on the day. And that was my first thought when I saw the two lads in the replay. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus, their necks could have been broken. Now, look, obviously Tim O'Mahony, like, I know Tim and he's a feisty fecker, but I knew by his reaction something dangerous had gone on because he went to hit Cian and keep hitting him. And I was just delighted that he was able to hit Cian because it meant he wasn't injured. Do you know what I'm saying? But it just looked terrible in the replay. And I know what Cian was trying to do. Cian was trying to get him off, just get rid of him, fly him over. And I know, listen, I know Cian off the field as well. I don't think he would have ever intended of hurting Tim in any bad way. He just wanted to get him off, which just looked terrible, didn't it?
Yeah, it looked awful, Anthony. It'd be brutal. I saw it again on my phone this morning again. It's like a spear tackle, I suppose, in rugby, if you want to describe it, where it can be seriously done. But I think when you're watching in slow motion, it's kind of worse than what it is. When you see, look at the big screen. And I think Cian was lucky, but I don't think he, there's no way he deliberately meant to do that to the opponent, to be honest with you. Like, you know, it's just, it looked wicked bad in slow motion. And it could have been very bad, Anthony, if he came down his neck in a different way, you know. But again, the officials again, James Owens and Fergal Hogan, looked at this, had their chat and gave him a yellow card. Like, you know, again, he was injured himself. It looked more bad, worse than what it was. To Tim's credit, he got up straight away again, like, you know, and got on with it, like, you know. So, referee at heart.
The big thing is that there was no injuries. Yeah, that's really, it. Like, whatever was in, Do you know?
That's it.
And, you, like, the one thing I can't look at replays when things like that happen. Like, and I looked at the replay and I stopped. I can't watch those things again. If you ever see a leg break, yeah, just, oh, it just galls me. Because you're thinking of their family as well. Like, I'm sure their both families are worried about them.
Yeah, 100%, Andy. But again, look, Limerick are so physical, Anthony, too, Brian. Look, Tim O'Mahony is not a small man either. Like, you know, so. So just that one, he's a big guy. Yeah. Like, came down. He was lucky. Lucky could have been a lot worse than what it was. But again, I think Horgan did. I don't think there was any intention of Keane Lynch to go out and hurt Timo. To be honest with you, like, you know, I thought Horgan dealt with it again good. And you know, it's a man's game too. Yeah. But I don't want to see anyone get injured, and that's the big thing. No one get injured, seriously injured.
Yeah, exactly. And look, and whoever you're talking, if you're talking to a Cork person, Keane Lynch should have got a red. And if you're talking to a Limerick person, they booed Fergal Horgan for even giving him a yellow. It was funny, like, you know, it was like a big boo went up. But yeah, so look, thank God neither player got injured badly anyway.
Think about that, when you see it on the big screen again in slow motion, it looks worse, and that's why they boo, I think, like, you know, and Sean, they say this should be. But the referee can split decision to make his decision. And that's all I mean. So he did a great game. Like, there was no talk about the referee. When you don't talk about the referee, Anthony, boy, it's after a good game, like, you know. So again, look, hats off the boat, lads. Got up and got on with it again, like, you know. And fair dues to Timo for not making a big thing out of it.
Question for you, Dan. It's going to be close to your heart, no, unfortunately, because I'm going to put you in a position that I might predict might happen. But there's a managerial roundabout coming up over the winter. There seems to be an awful lot of rumours about a lot of managers moving. One manager that has met a different county board is Liam Cahill. He's tipped to be going to Tipperary, the talk up there. It's his to refuse, which means Waterford are without a manager, Wexford are without a manager. There's rumours that Dublin and Galway places might come up. No, all rumours, and look, I'm not going to get in deeper into that because we don't know anything about it. But there seems to be a lot of managerial roles kind of coming up for grabs. First thing is, have you been approached by Waterford then, and am I going as your selector? Second thing is, if you were to get the job then, what would you do with a team to try and, I suppose, stop Limerick from going for 3 in a row and maybe even 4 in a row?
Yeah, Anthony, first of all, no, we're not going for any managerial job. So I hit that in the button straight away. coaching, for me, Anthony, I love the coaching side of it, bringing the drills and et cetera, is my advice to that. That thing is brilliant, like that. I love that. But managerial is another level altogether, I'll say. Well, am I 44? When I'm 58, hopefully you have. I don't want to take a year off me from coaching. Maybe go away and watch what John Kiley does or have a chat with him and see what he does, like, you know, or Kieran Kingston, to meet him for a cup of coffee and see how hard it is. Like, you know, I've been learning from that, like, you know. But again, credit to all the managers, boy. They put their hands up to be criticised. Let's be honest about it. You know, when things are going bad, they must take the good with the bad, if you know what I'm saying to you. So it's a hard job being a manager of any county team. I don't care if you're a Leitrim Hurling manager to Waterford football manager, with respect to everyone involved. It's a tough job managing players. Every individual is different, and you have to have a skill level. A manager, and it, for me, a coach can win the coaching, but a manager has to manage. What's Dan Shanahan doing away from the field? How's life outside of work? How's personal life? That kind of stuff, like, as well. But again, no, I enjoy the coaching side.
It's gone full time, Dan, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and
it's gone full time.
You would have even managed, and he'd probably take a year or two out of work to manage inter-county teams. You know what I'm saying to you?
Absolutely.
So they do. And that's how...
And people... And so the funny thing is, right, when you're not involved, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, anyway, like, when you're not involved in the county, you think that the manager turns up 3 or 4 nights a week and just does that. Like, I see, after having all the managers we've had, right, like, to me, it's their profession. It becomes their profession because work does take almost a second place for a while, because, like, I actually met Nicky English over the weekend, you know, and I was saying to him... Geez, Nicky, I said, like, you're getting back into it. He said to me in a tip accent, I won't even try and take it off. You want your head examined, he said. You want your head examined to get back into county management nowadays. Because he said, it is like, if there was an 8 day in the week, these managers would be busy for it because of the whole, like, you're managing 35 individual players. You're managing another 12 or 13 backroom team. And it's your the final say. If a player has an issue, it's your door that they're coming to knock on, you know, if there's something gone wrong, why he's not playing, why he's been dropped, why he's whatever like that. So I 100% agree with you that it is a very, very, very difficult thing. And, like, I know people might disagree with me here, but I think the days of managers going in for free and doing it for free, unless they're financially sound, and unless they have, like, family that are raised already and they have the time to do it. Look, I might be criticized for this, but, like, managers should be paid. Right, it should be their full-time job if they're to do it properly. I know you're going to have people come in and say, ah, look, no way, there should be no payment in the GAA. That's fine, but but it's a 7 day a week job. And I think that managers, and I know players don't get paid and won't get paid, but managers should be paid. And it would give the county an opportunity to have a full time employee that his job is to just do this rather than focusing on the second one, you know? It's gone that crazy.
It's crazy, Anthony. And look, I was involved with a man, Derek McGrath. What a man. I couldn't speak highly enough of the man. His management skills, his man management with the lads was unbelievable, Anthony. What I learned off him, the phone calls he made, we'd lads, four or five lads in Dublin. You can don't, no rush tonight, lads, no rush tonight. Stay there, stay in Dublin. Put in there. How to man manage players, Anthony, is unbelievable. He was a great man to do that, Derek. He took a year out of work to do it, Anthony. That's the way he did it. He was doing it right. But again, it's just about managing the whole lot. John Coyley and all the management teams, they must go to club games now from now on, Anthony. See, can they get another? The management doesn't stop because they won in Ireland. It probably starts again now. Prepare for next year's defence of the All-Ireland for whoever comes in, whether Liam Cahill goes to Tipperary. It's going to be... The one thing I do believe in Waterford, and I guarantee you the same at Cork, there's plenty of good lads in Waterford that are able to train their own county, if you know what I'm saying to you. Do you know... Liam Cahill's a great man. I know Gerard McCarthy came in.
Do you think they should be paid? Dan, am I wrong, so? Do you think they should be paid? Like, what happens here in Cork? Like, you don't get paid here in Cork, right? And I know Kilkenny's probably the same. Like, you know, and I don't know what it's like in Waterford. When you're in your own county, you don't get paid. Outside managers come in, get paid, right? And there's no, I don't think there's any secret to Jay about that, like, you know. But, like, do you think it's, am I incorrect, so? Should it be a volunteerism? Should it be, you know, that fella should be looked after or what?
Well, I tell you, there's no manager out of pocket, Anthony. Let's be honest about it. Like, you know, there's no manager out of pocket, whether it's expenses, whatever that do. Do you know, when you go outside managers, obviously come in, they do get expenses, Anthony. It's not fucking...
Yeah. Yeah.
Crack on about it. They do get expenses. Like, you know, they won't say they get paid, they get expenses. And which you're entitled to, and rightly so. They're giving up their time, their jobs, their young life. As you said, you have to... Let's be honest, as a player, Anthony, you have to be a school teacher now with respect. To give the time and the level. You don't see many farmers anymore playing into county hurling. With respect to the Fernald Hickey, I think the Pendergast here, Declan Pendergast farmer here in Waterford, gave up unreal hours. Just get off a combine harvester to go training, go back on the harvester again to finish off the tillage or whatever. Do you know, you can't do that now, but you have to have so much time and to be the top athlete. You look at most lads now, and they're school teachers or they're in college. You know, I'm more looked to them, like, you know, because the level,
100%,
the level of effort, and that's the same as a manager, boy. When you go into that, man, if I'm managing any team at any level, it's tough, even at club level. Let's be honest about it; it's tough, boy. But to be an inter-county manager, they deserve every expense they get. To be honest with you, boy.
So, Dan, we've avoided the question long enough. You're after getting a job, let's say Waterford. You're going in and you're trying to stop Limerick from winning three in a row. Like, what do you think teams need to do in the future to try and prepare themselves to play this Limerick team?
Put me on the spot, Anthony. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a Waterford job, but but I know it's Jesus. Where do you start, Anthony? Do you know it's if you go man to man, they'll create the space and sorry for the full forward. And if you sit someone on the D, which I think is the best way to beat Limerick, you have to have someone covering the full back line. Someone sitting on the D, your backs are more comfortable. They can score their long range points and etc. Like, you know, once they don't create. Get many goals, but as you said there, that Limerick team, I think they did 60 chances the weekend. Do you know what I'm saying? How do you stop that? Like, Keenan has to be picked up man on man, but someone has to sit on the D to cover your full back. Like, you can't leave the space that, with respect, poor Rob Downey and I don't know who had to deal with last weekend. It was unbelievable against Gallan and Casey inside. Like, you know, you can't leave that space to this Limerick team because when your fellas like Keenan and Hegarty going at full pace, Anto. It's wicked tough on Kieran Kings. I see him there, myself and Sullivan were talking there on the side and they were pointing out here, what do you do? But you just, personally, I would play six, seven at the back, one for the sitting, or half forward in, 10, 11, 12, sits back a bit more and make it, try and congest in the middle there, make it a battle around the middle of the field that you can get runners off the shoulder and create, put them on the back foot. But they're so good at Anthony, boy, it's hard to pinpoint one position because you do then shoot long range. If we go toe to toe, they'll create the space and come off the shoulder. The cornerback, as I said to you, will start the attack. You know, so your two corner forwards have to be worked like effing animals to try and get the one that goes to ground. And they're just awesome. I could talk to you all day about this Limerick team, boy, because for man for man, they're as good, and they're going to be wicked hard to stop again. Like, you know, but someone will stop them. They were stopped in the league games. They were beaten once or twice. You know what I mean? So Galway seem to have the physicality for them. But don't have the runners. Yeah. So I mean, so
yeah. but don't have the runners.
Like the thing I for mean, me, like you're on about, you like people around about here in Cork, like, and everybody I read about, like, was on about stopping Keane Lynch, like, you know, and unfortunately, I suppose Keane had like man of the match performance and stuff like that. So, like personally, I was surprised that Mark Coleman was the guy to kind of detail him, and it's nothing to do with Mark Coleman. What I'm saying is, Cork had built a game plan around Mark Coleman sitting deep and being the link man for the defence on the ball. So, like, when you're asking Mark Coleman to mark Keane Lynch and do that job, there's no man in the country able to do that. Then, like, you sit Tadhg Na Bhfhirca back, and Tadhg Na Bhfhirca, you sit back, and he used to be your link man, and give him the ball and get it on. Yeah. So I assumed that someone else was going to come in on Keane, take the pressure off Mark, and allow him hurl from the back and let Cork build up. I thought, like, personally, there was talk around here, Cork for the week, it was, like, going to be the Cork were even tempting the idea of having the sweeper and getting someone like Damien Cahalan start midfield and sit back and Keane and man mark him and keep it tight for 40, 45 minutes and then hopefully push on that, you know, because, like, Mark is, like, what people, there's a perception out there, Mark can't defend. Mark can defend, right? If Mark was just told to go and sit in Keane Lynch for the 70 minutes, I'm sure Mark would have done it. But Mark was also being told, come back and help your full back line, get on the ball. And, like, Keane Lynch was dragging him to 75 yards away from goal. Keane Lynch was dragging him to the wing. Keane Lynch knew he was going to be man-marked. So he was pulling Mark away, which meant Sean O'Donoghue, Niall O'Leary and Rob Downey, who have all had fantastic years, had the whole of Croke Park in front of them to defend. And, like, I'm not sure that any defence would have been able to deal with that. And, like, so for me, they're on about tagging players and doing this. But sure, then you're allowing Darragh O'Donovan and Will O'Donoghue to go back, take the pass from the full back line, get their heads up and link the play. So, as I said to you earlier, it's like as if they have, you know, the system of play perfected and they have every player in the field knows what they're supposed to do. It's going to take a phenomenal performance. If Limerick perform for the 70 minutes like they do, they'll be very hard to beat. What teams are hoping, I suppose, is that they don't perform for the full 70 and that you might get scores on the board. But then Tipperary this year in the league, like, or in the championship, were up at what, at halftime, 9 points, something like that. And Limerick just came out in one quarter hurling and absolutely blitzed them. So,
would I be right in saying, Anthony, that Mellory was a bit of a loss? I think he might have picked up Lynch.
I think he'd have picked Lynch.
Do you know what I mean? I think he would have.
But then, like, we all, like, I know, like, from the inside, I would have looked at, like, a Damien Cahalan is replacing that and going after Keane Lynch if that's what they wanted to do, you know? So, like, I just felt that, like, for me, and I'm not criticising anyone, but I just felt strange that Mark Coleman, our quarterback per se, like Tadhg Na Bhfhirca, Declan Hannan are for their teams, was told to go after the centre forward, which took Mark out of the play offensively for us. And, like, I mentioned in one of the things there during the week, Patrick Horgan is so important to Cork going forward, but Mark Coleman is so important in the defence going forward, because a cornerback or a goalie gets a ball, you want to give the ball to Mark Coleman. And by putting him after Keane Lynch, it just took that attacking threat away from Cork. Would it have been enough if they changed it then? I don't know. Look, I'm not going to say that one or two changes. I just think Limerick turned up and were so solid and so strong in the day that whatever Cork might have done. But I just think it took, like, Cork's game plan all year was get Mark Coleman in the pocket, get him on the ball. And actually, all of a sudden, that was gone because he was going after, right now, the best hurler in the country. You know, and I just thought you could focus on man marking the fella and sitting in the pocket.
War for me, that mistake against Clare, Anthony, as well, where they pushed Caelan Lyons on Tony Kelly. And
I agree.
Yeah, and it just changed his home game. He was attacking. Yeah. Mark Coleman, for me, if he was to do sit in the D, take a hand pass off one of his midfielders, get a score, Kylie be sent himself, so Lynch would have to sit in Coleman for the next 5 or 10 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe. But again, Mark's plan was taken away from that. Miller, because of loss, he might have got that job, Anthony, with Coleman sitting on the D. But again, look, that's why, look, Kieran Kingston and his management team, and great management team they are, thought of this, and I've no doubt they would have thought it inside out, upside down, and just didn't work from on the day, like, you know. But you said it did. That Limerick team are absolutely awesome. So no matter what Cork tried last weekend, they came to the day and they just blew them off the effing park, like, last weekend, like, you know. So but again, hats off to all involved, even Kieran Kingston and his team. They did their best. They thought they were doing right, and just didn't work on the day.
And that's it. Like, and of course, I suppose for the neutral, I suppose it was just you actually have to enjoy the Limerick performance more than the All Ireland final itself, because the spectacle, it was, I suppose, half time came and everyone knew the result was probably in the bag. Like, it's just going to be an interesting winter to see what teams decide to do or what kind of game plans they decide to bring against Limerick next year. And look, we're only a couple of days after the All Ireland final and we're already thinking to next year, which is great, you know, because hopefully with COVID gone and everything like that, then as well, like that, we'll have full crowds and we'll have, you know, the atmosphere back. But
I would have said it earlier, Anto, but to see the red and white and the green and white around Dublin, to have the fans back in numbers. There were so many people didn't get tickets and went to the match, went to Dublin for the weekend. Massive to have. Massive credit to GA. Sometimes we go to Knockham, open up 40,000 in Croke Park for a massive occasion. To see the Dublin rocking again, it was fantastic for all the business up there, let's be honest about it.
But what people might know is it was used as a pilot event. So what that means is that they were looking at seeing how the crowds reacted. And I think there's a big study being done this week of the COVID centres in both Cork and Limerick to justify whether crowds can attend events in the future. So hopefully that the COVID numbers will remain low and everyone will, like, because they were talking about the football around final, obviously, and stuff like that. And as well with schools going back. So hopefully all that went well and everything like that to see. Because I know in the entertainment, like, there was a lot of things on Twitter where you'd people walking down Jones Road side by side and stuff like that. And then you've entertainment people who people are losing millions, hundreds, thousands and thousands, yeah, or hundreds. So hopefully that went well and it'll allow the country open up a small bit as well. But look, from a GA perspective, it was great to see the crowds and it made the atmosphere like 45,000. When those teams walked around the parade, lads, it sounded like 148,000 inside there. Like, you know, it was just absolutely mental. Like, it was crazy. And people were up on their feet. And when the two goals went in, Jesus Christ, I had headsets on, you know, and like the headsets are like filled up with microphones for Sky. I could not hear the commentary. I couldn't hear a thing because the crowd just took everything over. You know, when Shane Kingston's goal went in right in front of me, it was just like the place. There was shaking on the ground. So it was a great experience to have that back, and hopefully they'll continue on with that.
But I bet you, and if you ask Declan Hannan lifting the cup with a crowd there compared to last year with no crowd there, the celebration with your fans after the match with the crowd there, with your family just given so much time away from our. I see young kids in pictures there sacrificing your life to go up the steps. And I bet you have asked Declan Hannan the feeling he had. I see him lifting the cup. We went all around on an occasion for him, like, you know, with fans there. Like, you know, and please God, as you said, we'll get better and the football semi-finals and have their crowds and everything opens up. Please God, Anthony, that the music entertainment, it comes back to normality again, because look, we're going to have to live with this COVID now, so we are, like, you know. So please God, that numbers will fall and everything will open up soon enough again.
Yeah, so we normally run the Zest Active Player of the Week. I think it's going to be an easier pick this week. So we're going to do two things, right? So Zest Active Player of the Week this week. And then what we're going to do in all GAs, if you go on their Instagram account, we're going to have a voting poll up to see who would you name as your All-Star 15. And myself and Dan are going to go through our picks for next week, then on next week's show. So the Zest Active All-Stars for the year as well. Dan, I don't think we're going to have too much of a debate about who's the Zest Active Hurler of the Week this week, but you just might, you know, go through it. And then, like, what would you say about his performance? I know we could go on about it for a half an hour, but, like, briefly, what would you say was your key to him getting the Zest Active Player of the Week?
Yeah, he's we would have talked about him last week, Anthony, as well. You know, Keane Lynch, he's just a phenomenal player to deal with. He comes across, I don't know him personally, he comes across as a sound man off the field, behaves brilliantly off the field, so he does, but he's tough on the field, and he's brain, boy. You can't teach some of the stuff he does with the ball, the hand passing, his movement. You can train a fella to lift weights, you can train a fella to hurl, you can do this, but his instinct, Anthony, he's unbelievable, boy. His running game, his hurling brain, the goals he set up, the space he creates by making the selfish runs is phenomenal. Like, you know, and I love watching him play hurling. He's just a joy. There's always a little flick going to come in or a little flick up off the ground. The skills level this man have are unreal. Like, you know, and look, he's proven it. He's doing everything. He's doing everything. So he hasn't. Long may it continue, because he's a joy to watch.
Yeah, in fairness, you talked about his personality. I know him small bit and piece. I wouldn't claim to be, you know, knowing that well, but he would have grown up with Barry, like, and his mum and dad actually know him very well as well. And his dad was actually a guard, my father. So I'll just echo your sentiments that off the field, as much as on it, he's such a sound young fella, like, and a very level-headed guy and a very nice fella, and a lovely family then as well. And obviously, Kieran being the uncle and everything like that, the Kerry's are lovely people as well. So look, he deserves all the accolades he gets as well, because off the field, he's such a gent as well. So look, obviously, as people would have expected, Keane Lynch is the Zest Active Hurler of the Week. Next week, we're going to be, as I said, we're going to have a kind of a different team too. We're going to pick our all-stars. We're going to pick the hurler and the young hurler of the year then as well. I think hurler of the year, we don't have to debate too much again on that. But we might talk about one or two other players we would nominate as hurler of the year. So yeah, look, it's just, it's been, you know, it's great spectacle for hurling. Great to have All Ireland final crowds back in. Tough for Cork people. And look, for anyone that is listening in that's a Cork supporter, like, you know, look, just do not get too down on the players and stuff like that, because it's a very empty place to be as a player for the next couple of weeks. And I'm sure that anyone that's listening in would echo the sentiments. If you had any child playing yourself, you'd like for them to be supported in the right way. So fair play to everyone. Congratulations to Limerick. A phenomenal team, phenomenal performance. And, you know, look, they deserve everything they got in this year. So thanks again to Dan. Again, thanks very much to our sponsor, Zest Active, who have allowed us to continue the relationship on the show. Again, if you want to use Hurling10 on the Revive Active website, you get 10% off the Zest Active products. This Thursday, we've got a very special guest coming on, and we're going to be interviewing an absolute legend of the game who has many other attributes outside of the game as well. He's a musician as much of a hurler, and that's Brendan Maher, who's had one of the most decorated careers of any hurler, and for me personally, one of the biggest gentlemen I've ever met on and off the field. So Brendan's going to come on and talk about his career and about retirement and what his next plans are as well, and talk about that score he got with the broken hurley for Baris Ali. So again, thanks for everyone's tuning in. Again, go on any of the podcast platforms, subscribe, and again on all GAA's TikTok and Instagram page, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
I'll get it back to Dan Shanahan. Shanahan in front of the goal, puts it over the bar.
Onto the 13-metre line. Somehow he squeezed it in.
Shanahan, a great catch. He's got a man inside of Ken McGrath. Shanahan has the confidence to go for a big